This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Student attendance is on the decline. That's according to data from the Australian Curriculum Assessment and Reporting Authority. And the data shows attendance at schools across Australia has dropped to, in some instances, below 50%. And whilst COVID and illness had a big impact on attendance, many families are still struggling to get their kids to attend school. Well, what are the main drivers for school refusal and what can we do about it? Kerry Milligan and John Cello are from the School Refusal Clinic. Join us in the studio. Kerry and John, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, Warren.
Hi, Warren. Good to be here.
Now, Kerry, I'm just going to say your voice sounds familiar because we're used to seeing you on our TVs on Gogglebox.
Yes, you are.
But this is another side to you.
It is. I've got many facets.
Let's get into it. Firstly, what is school refusal? Is it just kids refusing to go to school?
Well, it's not truancy. We used to talk about truancy, kids avoiding school when their parents thought they were at school, but they actually didn't turn up. We're not talking about that with school refusal. This is more anxiety-driven, school can't rather than school won't.
Ah, okay. So they feel like they just can't go there.
Yes. But lots of barriers that kids are experiencing with school at the moment, from the young ages of 5 right up to VCE, all over Melbourne, privileged and unprivileged or neurodiverse kids are right across the gamut, struggling to get out of their bedrooms at times, out of the door, into the car, into school and into the classroom.
Do we know how many kids are suffering from school refusal?
Well, prior to COVID, around 2 to 5% was the understanding. And this is not just Australia. This is across the Western world. Since COVID, we're thinking, we don't really know because a lot of it's anecdotal. There hasn't been the research to collate the data yet, but we're thinking about double or maybe even triple the number.
Oh, wow. What are the main reasons? Can you summarise the main reasons that people...
Well, it's based mainly around anxiety. The kids are just very nervous to go to school. They've got lots of fears that they can't actually articulate. And that's why John does the wonderful therapy with Max Therapy Dog with them.
Ah, yes. Now, I have to admit, I didn't introduce Max in the introduction, but there's a little white. What sort of dog is Max?
He's a Pomeranian Spitz.
A Pomeranian Spitz. And I've just had several tricks performed by Max, and of course my dog can do none of those tricks. So Max is very, very talented. How do those tricks work in terms of calming the anxiety of students?
Well, Max is a very important colleague, part of the therapy. Children who have anxiety, who avoid school because they're anxious about going, social anxiety or separation anxiety, anxiety in the classroom with academic stuff as well, also have anxiety coming in for therapy often. And so they can be a bit avoidant or treatment resistant, sometimes we call it. But with a therapy dog, engagement is much easier right from the first session because Max does his tricks and warms kids up and everyone loves a dog.
Could we see therapy dogs in schools themselves?
Well, that's starting to happen.
Is it?
More and more schools, like hospitals and aged care homes, now schools are taking on more and more therapy dogs.
Oh, wow. Yes. I think it's a great idea. Now, in terms of the education process itself, and we know that school refusal is now about anxiety that the kids are feeling, are they also disengaged as a result with the whole education process?
Well, that's when they're not at school, they're starting to feel disengaged socially and academically from the curriculum and from their teachers. It becomes very hard to sort of go back into the classroom after you've been out for a while because you've got to explain why, mainly to your peers. That's the number one anxiety is, what am I going to say when I go back? Because they're going to ask me where I've been.
And, of course, the longer that they're away, the harder it is to go back.
So what do you do with a student who hasn't been to school for 12 months or whatever?
Well, firstly, you've got to understand the nuances of the problem. So I consider myself a detective, a social detective, to try to find out what it is for each individual child. And that could be many. There's 87 reasons we counted recently why kids avoid school. And getting them to explain, sometimes they don't know, sometimes they do know. Their parents have insights into that and sometimes the schools have insights into that. But really, as I say, it's a return to school plan, whether that's getting to school and then staying in school, that we negotiate with parents, teachers and wellbeing staff and the children and teens themselves and come up with an individualised graduated return to school plan.
Right. We're chatting with Kerry Milligan and John Chellew from the School Refusal Clinic about why some kids have difficulty with school attendance. Now, we all remember our best and our worst teachers at school. I mean, how can we forget some of them? I mean, I had some horrific ones and I had some really good ones. What role do the teachers play in school refusal? Like, what happens if you get a kid that comes in, they're anxious about going to school, and it's actually the teacher that's causing it?
Yeah, and this is why when John just articulated that it's very much a team effort to get a kid back to school, and we talk about it with the family as Team Johnny, you know, the kid might be called Johnny. It's Team Johnny, and everybody plays a part in that team, but they're the captain of the team, so they can tell. They need to tell us what it is that's bothering them about going to school. And as John said, that's real detective work. And then we have a meeting, a return to school meeting at school, and we thrash it out basically and find out what's going on. Is it a personality clash between the kid and the teacher? And if it is, then it needs to be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But John and I also have a wonderful little program that we do during the school holidays called Fit for School. And we do it with primary kids and secondary kids. And John plays the therapist and I play the teacher. And we do lots of school-based activities in the St Kilda Botanical Gardens or down at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I say things to the kids like, you know, I'm the teacher here and sometimes I'll need to use my teacher voice, but it's nothing to be afraid of, because when you go back to school, you're going to have to get used to that sort of thing. So they work as a group, they work individually and in a small group, no more than 10 kids. That's your critical mass. And the kids just blossom in that group. They have so much fun and they make friends, and it gives them the confidence to actually go back to school after the holidays.
Just on that, and I think that's great, you know, making kids aware of how teachers may speak.
Mm.
But also, do you talk to the teachers themselves and, you know, and say, go out there and say, you know, maybe this teacher's a little bit aggressive with their tone or something like that?
Well, and it's easier in the primary school setting because the mm-hmm. kids generally have just one teacher. But in the secondary school setting, it's more difficult because there could be up to 11 teachers for a young person. So it's a really hard thing to negotiate. It takes a bit of time and a bit of patience. And as long as the teachers are aware of it, then things can be negotiated and worked out.
What if a kid comes in and says, look, you know, I'm being bullied by someone in the schoolyard, and then you've got another kid and parents involved? What happens then?
Well, that's a tricky one, and it's usually best resolved at school with the wellbeing team. And some schools have, what do they call it, Kerry, the programs where they, restorative justice programs where children resolve things together. A lot of schools have that sort of program. Excuse me. But it's also about being assertive and learning how to problem solve and use the resources within the schools to solve those sorts of problems.
But I'm thinking, you know, a kid may not necessarily have the confidence to admit that they're being bullied. You know, it's a horrible thing to go through. And sometimes, you know, they might not feel like speaking up. So how do you sort of work out that?
But that's why the therapy part of it's so important, that, you know, John and I will build up a rapport and a trust with a young person that we're working with so that they feel they can tell us, because often they can't tell the adults, the other adults in their lives, their parents or the teachers at the school, but they can tell us and then we can advocate for them.
Right. So the school refusal clinic, what sort of success rate do you have?
Well, we do a different type of therapy, and a non-traditional therapy. In fact, we call it walk and talk. So it's all outdoor exposure therapy, using the dog, and we fly drones along the St Kilda beach and the park there, and remote control boats and cars and walkie-talkies for kids who have trouble getting to sleep because their parents are in a different room.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using tech and all these different – so it's difficult to know how well we're doing because we haven't really researched it over a period of time, but anecdotally, highly successful. And word of mouth is spreading, and I mean, people are coming more frequently because of the quite quick success we're getting, because we're engaging really quickly, and it's a doing kind of therapy, not just a talking kind of therapy.
And the kids aren't sitting in a clinic, you know, looking at and feeling under pressure to talk to us. It's not like everything's focused on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're outdoors in the nature, you know, the kids are relaxed and enjoying themselves. It's a great method of therapy.
What if there's a parent or even a kid who is listening now who is struggling because they're too scared to go to school for whatever reason? What should they do? What would you say to them?
Well, I'd encourage their mum or their dad or either of their carers to be talking about finding help for them initially inside the school, and if that's not going to work, because a lot of kids don't like to speak to the school counsellor mm-hmm. for all sorts of personal and private reasons, might want to find someone confidential outside. So they can call, firstly they need to see their GP and mm-hmm. get a referral for a Medicare rebate to see a service like ours, a private service. But there are lots of services around, we're just one of them. We're based in St Kilda, we see kids from all over Melbourne, and we actually don't have a very long waiting list at the moment. So I'd encourage them to contact our intake number if they want to come to the school refusal clinic, if that's the issue.
I like the sound of it, because I feel like, you know, if you're in an environment where you are anxious and you don't necessarily want to attend, and then the only resources to help you are located within that environment, yeah. I mean, you do feel trapped, don't you? There's no way out.
That's right.
And the federal government currently is so concerned about the issue that they've set up a Senate committee about school refusal. And John and I submitted a paper for the Senate committee talking about the work that we do and what we see the solutions could be. And we appeared before them about a month ago and actually spoke to them face to face. They were very impressed with Max.
Great.
So the report should be coming out very soon.
And do you hope to see some of your recommendations included in that report?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, keep us posted. Kerry and John, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Thanks, Warren.
Pleasure, thank you. Warren. It's Kerry Milliken and John Chellew and Max, the dog, the therapy dog from the school refusal clinic.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Joy Drive with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.